Steve and Jill here.
Howdy.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, Entertaining Land Investment Talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I am Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from pretty Park City, Utah. I had to think about that for. I almost said Park Lake City. I don't know where I got that. Park City.
Salt Lake City and Park City.
I know. That's a good combine. Well, that's true. I'm all confused.
Today, Jill and I talk about why municipalities' rules, their rules, are preventative. I've never talked to anyone in my life and said, you know, that municipality, the city of Park City, or the county of Summit County, they're doing a good job.
They are. They're helpful.
Yeah, they help
they
us.
They want me to prosper.
I wanted to split that property. They let me split it.
Yeah, no problem. I just had to do these forms. What the heck?
It's not just, we'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's just take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Eric wrote, is that the title?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, Impulse bought data
from Leelanau County, Michigan. How's the water? He's joking.
Okay. And it goes on to say, I usually let the data tell me where to mail. But after a recent trip to Leelanau County, Michigan, I found myself poking around the data on RealQuest. Next thing you know, at the accept button, I started looking a lot like a Snickers bar at the grocery checkout. Hello, everyone. I'm now the proud owner of 1,000 ownership records. The county indicators looked reasonable when plugged into Steve's red, green, yellow test for rural vacant land. Slightly high, active to total properties at 1.23%, but still within reason. Anyone have any experience in that area? It's surprisingly expensive at $10,000 to $20,000 an acre for low acreage properties. Lots of beautiful lakes around there. Ideally, I'd find a funding partner, but I don't want to scare them off with the high dollar, low acreage properties in a lesser known market. Also, anyone else who has impulse bought data? I blame Steve and Jill for making it so easy.
Buy a nickel for every time I impulse bought data. True. Some people buy impulse jewelry. Some people have gambling issues, drinking issues. I have data issues.
Right.
And I have bought data in this state. Leelanau County is Traverse City.
Okay.
And if you're a data person or a Michigan person or you're into this at all, there's a lot of cities, municipalities, a lot like Traverse City, where the county split.
Right.
Traverse City is made up of two counties. Leelanau is to the north. That runs a ton of waterfront property everywhere, which is why it's so expensive. And then there's a different county. I think it's Grand Traverse County to the south. So yeah, I you know, if you drove through there and didn't buy data, this isn't for you. I bought all kinds of data on this trip. We've been in Park City for almost 2 weeks. There's lots of data that I purchased and we will send mail out just based on driving around. So don't worry about it.
I would argue though, it's still better. Buying data at 10 cents is better than sending it out at 55.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
So, oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah.
So yeah,
you're
okay.
The real tragedy would be if you
mailed them
if
all.
You impulsively did a mailer and priced it wrong.
Right.
You know, you bought the dress in the window instead of walking in and see what's in the sales rack before you bought the dress in the window. What do you do? You just buy the dress in the window and that's it?
I'll have to be honest. Sometimes I do.
Sometimes I do, too.
Do you know why? Because I'm very picky about it. You know what? I'm picky about property, though, too.
Yeah, me too.
I don't buy everything. I buy the right property.
Traverse City is a Zoom. We caught a couple days ago. It's a Zoom city. And so this $10,000 to $20,000 per acreage, that's not going to scare anybody at all. In fact, you're going to find people who would probably rather spend more on that.
Right.
Than the smaller, you know, $100, $200 an acre desert property. There's a lot more uses for... If it's worth it.
If it's worth $30,000 an acre, buying it at 10 or 20 or buying it at 10, is good. So if it's worth 10 an acre, we want to buy it at 2 or 3.
So, and don't be afraid about the red, green, yellow test. So traditionally, not so much anymore. But traditionally, these Zoom cities or second home cities or, I grew up going to Leelanau County as a child in my grandparents' cabin, believe it or not. So those types of properties usually have they have historically had longer days on market. So the red, green, yellow test is going to come out. You know, if you just get done doing like Warren, Michigan out of Detroit, the red, green, yellow test is going to be, it's going to pass with flying colors. But it, and if you line that up against Warren and Leelanau County or Traverse City, Warren's in Macomb County, it's not going to pass. But my whole thing about the red, green, yellow test is it's got to be apples to apples. So you can't compare Oakland or Macomb County, Michigan to like LA County. It's just, it's apples and oranges. Same True. Thing with Traverse City. So I wouldn't worry about that at all. 1.23 is great.
Thank you. Today's topic?
Why municipalities' rules are preventative. This is the meat of the show.
Okay, I would like to ask this question. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Oh, please share with us.
There's a few reasons. Number one, the vast majority of these municipalities are run by people who can't get a job doing anything else.
Okay.
Number one.
Well, it's and, not like on. It makes sense
they're,
why.
And it's not entirely their fault. Okay. They're running... In some cases, they're running off of rules that were created in the 1800s. I'm going to use Park City as an example.
True.
So don't get me wrong. It's not everything that's wrong. You know, I believe that there's... My general rule is, for myself, I'm happy to abide by rules that affect other people. So there's a rule here in Park City that for properties that have been built before 1924, I think...
Something in the 1920s.
You can't materially alter the exterior to keep the charm of the town, which I understand. Right. That affects everybody. Knock yourself out on the inside. But properties that are not subject to this rule, this is a good rule. Mm-hmm. I think Sedona's got a rule like this. Sedona, Arizona, you know, they have fast food restaurants, but they all look like they're built into the side of a canyon. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, the Golden Arches is nowhere, you can't see it. So there's some rules that I think are good, but the vast majority are you know, I don't believe that, like, the entitlement process in California is atrocious. Mm-hmm. And they're not trying to keep, I believe in my soul that the real root of this reason is that people don't want to get fired. They don't want to make a decision where their boss says you should have never made that decision, so they do nothing. Or they drag it out forever.
This is a reality. Now, I mean, I know the reasons why also. I want to know why no one's changing them. Why? I mean, it makes me so mad.
Me too, Jill.
I mean,
really makes
they
me
really
mad.
Are keeping good people from doing good things. For example, I know of two properties that we actually looked at here in Park City that are, it's two buildings, one APN, and they're two completely separate, full 2,000 square foot homes, you know, with separate driveways. Like this one we looked at yesterday, driveways and everything. You have to buy it as a two-pack. They
you would
will
never,
not let you
and you would never
them.
Know it looking at it. No. If you weren't in the real estate business, you would say this is two separate APNs. Yeah.
So, yeah, they were forcing you. They will not separate them for any reason, and it doesn't make sense. So it's keeping the poor owner stuck until they find the right buyer, when it could be two wonderful buyers, and it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change the city. I would argue the taxes are going to be higher.
I agree.
They would get more money in the end, but they're keeping it pushed down, and that's the part that I don't understand.
There's so many rules.
I know.
These municipalities just love, governments in general, they love to create these rules. I think, I really believe they, when they go to bed at night, they pat themselves on the back and say, right, I am really doing the world a service by creating these rules to save all you people from yourselves. That just goes against every fiber of my being. Instead of saying, within reason, you know, we are going to review what you submit, and if it's reasonable, we're going to approve it. Mm-hmm. Because we trust you, we trust your judgment, and we believe that you want to be part of this community and build something, or separate some property, or consolidate some property. Or,
that's going to make it a better place.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. You're going to make this better in some way.
And that's just not their attitude.
Then
their attitude,
listen.
This is more stuff.
That's
this is now. This is more stuff I have to do.
That's true.
And there's all these rules that were set up in the 1800s, or in the, let's say even say the 1970s, that just don't apply to any of this. So mm-hmm. If I sound frustrated, it's because I am.
I agree. You are not wrong.
It's preventative. It's right in the title.
Yeah.
It's preventing people like us who really want to do something good and make some money while we're at it from doing that.
I found it interesting. We met with a builder here, and he was shocked and amazed, as were we, that he got to be on the planning committee for a while, for a few years. He said, I can't believe they even allowed a builder slash developer on the committee. He wasn't able to really make any changes, but in his eyes, it was good for him because he gained a lot of information. He gained a lot of knowledge about it because he's building all over here. And now he really knows all the rules. But I just, why is it so hard to change this?
Where it rears its head, in my opinion, and it's flat out incredibly frustrating for me in the last year, is mobile home parks. Everybody complains, and like Los Angeles is a perfect example. For whatever reason, Los Angeles is very pro-development, and they do not care about traffic. There's no traffic. They've never done a traffic study. They don't care. Or parking. So why in the hell wouldn't you allow, you know, there should be multiple mobile home parks? Granted, architectural review, I get architectural review, and I agree with that. I think that if you're, nobody wants to build a dump. But the very definition of a mobile home park is affordable housing. And yet they will never, anybody out there listening to this knows where you can start a mobile home park pretty easily, will you please email me? I'd love to know. Because I'll start one there, if the market supports it.
Mm-hmm. You're not wrong. You're not nuts.
Instead, we've got places like Los Angeles. Los Angeles literally has a rule where if you, from a squatter's perspective, if you live in an RV in a single overnight parking spot long enough, you get to just stay there forever.
Yeah, they can't kick you out.
So how is that possible?
You don't get a parking ticket. I get a parking ticket, but you've been living there. You don't get a parking ticket. You can live in your car.
And it's not pretty. You know, if somebody's been living in an RV for, I don't know, a year in the same spot.
Maybe that's what I should do.
That's not part of an ownership situation.
I'm going to keep a bunch of crap in the back of my car. Make it look like I live there. Take a picture every time I get a parking ticket. Just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But it just doesn't make sense.
And there's something, you know, I'm not going to get political here at all, and I don't care about the right or left. I've said it a million times, and I'll say it again. I really don't care. But there's something has changed recently where the role of government is up our noses. They are just, they believe for some reason on both sides that they're going to make all these rules for us and we're going to comply. Instead of saying, you know what? I believe, Jill, you know what's best for your family. Nobody knows your family better than you. And I trust you as an American to make some good decisions for you and your family.
Here's all the information.
Why would I ever presuppose making decisions on behalf of your family that have to do with health and all kinds of stuff? You do it, you know?
I know.
It wasn't that long ago that full administrations were saying, I don't believe that that's the role of government to get involved in that at all.
I know.
You never heard a municipality say that.
No, it's so hard because there's so many, when you really dig into it too, I'm back on this topic, that say I want to build something, I could find 3 rules for it and 6 rules against it. And which one's the right one? Because the reality is there's rules and laws that just keep layering on top of each other, and they never take away the old ones.
That's correct.
I don't know if I was in it wasn't a class. I was just kind of listening to someone speak about laws and the creation of laws. And it's just that the sheer volume of laws every year that go into effect, and they don't go take out the old ones. They just leave them there. So it's so hard to go and figure out which applies where. It's
here's a great example.
I don't want to be there. I wouldn't. That's why I couldn't be an attorney, by the way. I couldn't handle that.
There's a property type that does not require zoning. You can put it anywhere you want, and that's places of worship. So if you ever just driven down a subdivision somewhere and then all of a sudden, bam, there's a church, or even like an industrial area or an office area, it's like, bam, there's a church, because they don't have to, as a nonprofit religious organization.
Yeah.
What, is that accurate? Like, why would you get to be able to put a church in a subdivision? Like, who made that rule and why is it still around?
Right. It's very
And they don't have to pay taxes as a nonprofit. So how does that help anyone except the 5 people that belong to that organization?
I know.
Is this becoming a rant?
A little bit. Can I live there?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can.
Maybe it's I can live there. In the rectory?
The nonprofit status,
I don't know,
would probably be... If the whole thing became a primary residence, it would change, but...
I don't know.
Frustrating because Jill and I could really come into a small community like Park City and make some huge improvements and create affordable housing and all all kinds of things. And there's just this lack of trust at all municipal levels, and starting at the federal and going down to the small towns. This lack of trust that we as individuals and as Americans are independent and intelligent enough to do something good for all of us and make a little dough while it's happening.
Mm-hmm. You're not wrong. Happy you could join us today. Monday through Friday, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Join us next week for another interesting episode. I'm a little amped up. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I might be alone in listening to this podcast.
That could be. It's a tough one. It's important to talk about, I guess, because you're not nuts. Yeah. If you step into this business and you realize, wait a minute, you know, this is a good show to hear. Don't go there. We've all thought it and wanted it to happen, but let me just save you a little bit of energy. Just pick another area. That's the end result.
Or buy a piece of property and resell it exactly how you bought it.
This is very true.
This is a common theme all throughout Land and House Academy. Do not improve it. Do not go through any type of zoning rechange or parcel splits. There's a trend on the internet now among some of these land groups to talk about changing zoning, and I'm here to tell you, it is 99.999% of the time not going to happen.
Right.
You're going to end up pulling your hair out.
You're going to waste 90 days of your life and gray hair that you can never get back. Yeah. That is very true. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find this content valuable, and we appreciate your support. Please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
We're Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.